Okay, it's really a very, very special schus to be here. To be here and partake in the beginning of what I hear is supposed to be and will be, Bez Hashem, a very special Shabbos Kodesh. And I thank all those who made it possible to bring me here, Ziva and whoever else was involved in this entire Shabbos. I'm really blown away and inspired myself. You know, the Pasuk tells us, by the menorah, by the neros of the menorah, which we're learning these parashas about the Mishkan, about the kelim of the Mishkan, this week the Big Day Kahuna. The pasuk says at the beginning of Baloscha, Dabar Aaron v'Martila Baloscha Saneros, a very strange language. Baloscha Saneros, what exactly does that mean? Obviously it's a lashon of lighting up the neros, the candles. So Rashi there tells us something from the Gemara, which doesn't seem to clarify. Shitzorich lahadlik, you have to ignite the menorah. Ad shitei shal heves ola me'aleha, until the flame ola me'aleha is going up by itself. If we think about it for a moment, that sounds very beautiful. But what is Rashi adding to our lives? Isn't that just the definition of lighting a flame? Anytime any of us in our lives have lit a flame, you light the candle, and then you remove your hand, and the candle is lit by, it's staying lit. There's a fire, right? Rashi really needs to tell us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to tell us, that the way that you light the menorah lahadlik, ad shitei shal heves ola me'aleha, until the flame is going by itself, we wouldn't know that without those words. That's what's being taught to us from this word, Baloscha. From a lashon of Aliyah, that the flame goes up, that it's rising by itself. So many suggest, I believe. The menorah represents our ruchnius, the light of the menorah. Ki ner mitzvah v'torah ar. The light of the menorah represents our connection to Torah, our connection to Hashem. And obviously, each one of you has had this chus, has had the opportunity to learn under various rabbeim and teachers in seminary and here in Stern, and prior to that in high school and even elementary school. But the goal ultimately, is ad shetei shal heves ola me'aleha. A yid, a Jew, has to be able to stand alone, has to be that flame, that even when disconnected, even when leaving the confines of the years when you have the schus to be in makomos, in places that help you grow in Torah and in mitzvos, that I'm a burning flame connecting to Hashem, that will eventually, Bez Hashem, you will be the Nashim Tzidkanias that gives us over to your family. And to come here tonight to give words of hakdama, words of hachana, words of preparation for a Shabbos Kodesh that I've been told and I hear is a Shabbos planned of ruchnius, of spirituality, of connection to Hashem. And this Shabbos came completely from you. Came completely from you, that was planned by the young women in Stern, wanting more ruchnius, wanting more connection to Hashem, wanting a beautiful Shabbos here together. So that tells me that the Shalheves is Olam Eileh. That already we see amongst you the flame burning bright. That you're taking the initiative to build a deeper connection to Hashem, to continue to be burning bright. And ultimately that each and every one of us needs to be able to have that deep connection with the Rabbi Nishalom. But as a Rebbe, I'm tremendously inspired. It's a tremendous amount of chizuk just to come and see young women on a Thursday night. I know each and every one of you was here all week, and you had many classes. And Thursday night, I know, is usually like cheres, you know? Freedom! Like, finally, I get to Uber home. You know, because I convinced my parents that it's just as cheap if I go together with four girls. I don't have to take the train anymore. Back in my day, when I was in YU, we had to take the train. So you had to take the A train. Okay, that was my MTA days, really. By YU, you got rides. You didn't ever take the train. But here already, we're Ubering home, right? Because four girls, the same price as the Long Island Railroad. So I'm Ubering home Thursday night. Cheros, I'm not going to... And this weekend? Right, I assume you don't have classes Monday, right? Am I wrong? You have classes Monday. Okay, it's enough. Still, Shabbos Kodesh. Friday off, Sunday off. Like Thursday night is where I'm running. But to see so many young women deciding I'm going to stay because I want to connect to Ruchnius and I want to connect to Kedusha. It's incredible. And what better month to have this in than the beginning of Adar? The beginning of Adar, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbin B'Simcha. And what is that Simcha? What is the joy of Adar? What is the joy of our lives? True Simcha is only when we're deeply connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Simcha that each and every one of us wants in our lives. We're not looking for, I mean, we are looking for, we enjoy the Simcha of the moments, of a Chasana, of a Bris Milah, of getting good, getting back a good test mark. But those are momentary. True, consistent, constant Simcha can only come from a deep relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you understand Kol Ma'adav Rechman Al Tavavid. Everything Adam does is for the best. And Adar is that month. Adar is that month when we see Hashem even when somewhat hidden. So that I could have Simcha in my life always. And therefore, no better way to celebrate Adar, to have this special Shabbos, to be able to connect deeper to the Rabbanu Shalom and build that Simcha of my life. The Simcha of Adar, and we have to understand, you know, sometimes we're here, it's only Adar Rishon, Purim is so far away. The Simcha of Adar is every single day. It doesn't say Mishenichnas Purim Marbe B'Simcha. Mishenichnas Adar, and that includes Adar Rishon, seemingly. I tell you, 12 years ago, my middle child, my middle daughter, I'm supposed to have 5 children and 3 daughters in the middle, so she's my middle child and my middle daughter, Eliora Malka, was born. Her bat mitzvah is going to be in another month. Yurches Adar, 18th day of Adar, 12 years ago. She was born in a hospital in Brooklyn, a Methodist. And I was with my wife, obviously, through the birth and after the birth. And late at night, I was going home to go to sleep. It was probably at least 1 o'clock in the morning when I left the hospital. My wife was fine. The baby was fine. And I realized I didn't have a ma'ariv yet. Okay, I think the Rabbanu Shalom is going to understand. So first, I think I'm going to have to daven b'yichidus. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. But then I realize that the route home, the drive home, from Methodist Hospital in Park Slope, Brooklyn, to the 5 towns, you go right through Crown Heights, right through Eastern Parkway, right down Eastern Parkway. And some of us know, what is Eastern Parkway famous for as a Yid? 770 Eastern Parkway is Chabad headquarters. The Beis Medrash of Chabad. And in Chabad headquarters, there's a minyan factory, literally 24/7 minyanim. Meirevs are going all night long. So I say, wonderful, I'm literally going to pass right by. I'll stop, I'll chop him in, I'll chop Meirev. So I get there, maybe it's 1:15 in the morning. And I go and I was able to daven Meirev. It was a very special Meirev. I still remember the Meirev because, you know, it was my first tefillah after my daughter was born. It's a lot of Akar Satov. But while we're davening, like you walk into 770, I don't know how many of you have been there, you could go into the women's section, you could see into the men's section from there. When you walk in, so that's where the minyan factory is set up. There's like 4 different rooms made from mechitzos, from minyanim. And then the large base medrash. And as I'm davening ma'ariv, I hear from the large base medrash singing and dancing, music, instruments. It's like 1:15 in the morning. So after I finish davening, I go to see what's going on. And mamish, it's like 50, 60 chabad chasidim dancing, singing. So what does a yid do when you see other Jews dancing and singing? You can't not join in, right? You have to join in. So I go and I start to dance and sing. I had what to be thankful for sure that night. So after about 5-6 minutes, I turn to one of the Hasidim and I'm dancing. I'm like, so tell me something. What are we dancing for? Like, did someone get engaged? What are we dancing for? He says, what do you mean? Chayadar. It's Chayadar. the first time I realized what my daughter's Hebrew birthday was. And I thought to myself, okay, you know, we as Jews, everything has to be chai, right? We're very big into skulas, and if we give tzedakah, you're not allowed to give tzedakah if it's not in denominations of $18, right? 18, 36, 54. Like, no one ever heard of giving $52 to tzedakah. You just don't do it. Okay, maybe Havaya times 2, 52. Okay, I hear that. That was a bad example. But most, we don't give random numbers. Like, it's generally 18 times whatever you could do, right? 180, 360. So, chai. Because we like life, we want life. Chai Adar, special night. I never thought of it before, but I thought it's beautiful. Beautiful, great. I dance for a couple more minutes, I go home. The next night, I'm with my wife again, and I leave a little bit earlier this time. That time I already planned, I'm going to daven Ma'ariv by 7:70 again. I go into daven, and again, I see dancing and singing, and so I daven Ma'ariv, and I go, of course, join again. A few minutes in, I look at one of the Hasidim and say, tell me something, what are we dancing for tonight? And the chassid looks at me and says, what do you mean? It's Yud Tes Adar. And I realized, in Chabad, every single night of Adar, they're dancing and singing. There's simcha every day of Adar. And there's no question that that's an Adar Rishon as well. And this is the simcha we've entered into. And this is simcha that you are planning for this Shabbos Kodesh. To build a deeper connection to the Rabbi Nishlam together with the Shabbos of Ruchnias. What more special time than Adar? So I heard the theme of the Shabbos, the theme of this weekend. I don't like to say weekend. I said that because we're starting tonight, it's Thursday night, but it's Erev Shabbos Kodesh. The theme of Shabbos Kodesh starting with Erev Shabbos Kodesh. You understood that you have to be Machshav Erev Shabbos Kodesh. You started Thursday night already. It's beautiful. Because you can't have a Shabbos if you don't prepare properly for Shabbos. If you're not Taruch b'Erev Shabbos, you can't Yoichel b'Shabbos, the Gemara says. If you don't plan on Erev Shabbos, you can't... It's not just physically eating. You have to prepare emotionally and spiritually for Shabbos Kodesh. So we're preparing, Baruch Hashem. So the theme of this beautiful Shabbos Kodesh, I heard, is being an all-star. Being an all-star in Avodas Hashem is the topic we're going to speak about tonight. I'm not sure who chose that. I'm not sure where that came from. I'm not sure if you had any idea that this weekend, now I'll call it weekend, you'll understand why in a moment, is the NBA All-Star Weekend. I don't know if there was any connection to that. But what does it mean to be an all-star in Avodas Hashem? The truth is we all innately want to be big. We want to be stars. There's a band, The Counting Crows. I don't know how many of you are holding in The Counting Crows. I really liked their music back in the day. And their biggest song that was on the radio was the song Mr. Jones. And in that song, they have a line, we all want to be big, big stars. But we have different reasons for that. We all want to be big, big stars. Who doesn't want to be a star? Who wouldn't want to be a star? But hopefully we want to be a star in Avodas Hashem. But in order to be a star in Avodas Hashem, we have to understand what that means. What does it mean to be an all-star in Avodas Hashem? But we have to have, and we'll get to this in a moment, we have to have she'ifus for greatness. First and foremost, before we explain what this means, it's important that each and every one of us should have yearnings, she'ifus, yearnings, to be a star, to be great. You know, I'm sure everybody in this room, at some point in their life, and if you haven't, then you better start tonight. And if you have, then you better continue tonight, because there's no more important sefer in the world than Mesil Shasharim. I'm sure we've all learned parts of the Mesil Shasharim. I really believe there's no more important sefer in the world. Perek Aleph Mesil Shasharim is the biggest foundation of anyone's life. I mean, it's called Chovas Adam Balamo. Probably most of us should be learning that every moment of our life. But at least sometime every day. And the Mesil Shasharim, at the end of his introduction, at the end of his Akdama, so he says that, obviously this is a sefer trying to give the foundations of what it means to be an Eved Hashem, what it means to be a Jew, what our purpose should be. And he says at the end, I'm going to work this sefer, I'm going to set up this sefer in a particular seder, in a particular order. Because all growth has to be step by step. And he bases it on a brisa by Pinchas ben Yair. And he says first is zehirus, which is to be careful, to be watchful, to ensure not to do anything wrong, and then zrizus, to be zealous in our avodah, in our mitzvos, in our positive mitzvos. And he has all different levels. You could open up and see. One of the highest levels is called chassidus. You've all heard of chassidus. But when the Mesil Shesharim, Rav Moshe Chaim Lazal, and Chal is talking about chassidus, he's not talking about peyus and a bekesha and a strimal. That's not what he's talking about. We all have to strive to be chassidim. Now that's not a philosophy within Yiddishkeit. It's within every philosophy of Yiddishkeit. It's to be a pious Jew. To be the best Jew I could be, basically. And chassidus, I'm not going to get into it right now, in the Mesil Shesharim, is like this really high level of avodas Hashem. And that's like up there on the list. That's what he gets to much later in the Sefer. Yet you open up the first words of Perek Aleph. And what are the very first words? Some of you might know them as you've learned them many times, I'm sure. Yesod ha-chassidus. Vishoresh ha-avoda tmimahi, and he goes on. He starts out by talking about the foundation of piety, of being a pious individual, chassidus. Ramchal, what are you doing? You just told me, literally the paragraph before, at the end of the introduction, that I'm going to set up my Sefer step by step. I'm going to set up step by step. We're going to work. We're not going to skip steps, and we're going to work on ourselves and start from the bottom and work our ways up, which is the right way to throw. Yet, and chassidus, he points out, is one of the highest of steps. And the first word, the paragraph of foundation of chassidus, what is going on here? Now the truth is, if you continue to learn the first parak, he doesn't talk about chassidus after that point. He just explains what chassidus is for a moment, what the foundation of chassidus is. So I heard this from Rav Victor Neventhal, Shlita, the Rav of the old city of Yishalayim, Eir Kodesh, Tzadik Yisoid Adam, of the biggest Talmid Chacham of the world. Just chusim, he put on my son's tefillin for the first time. Mamish, a walking tzaddik, a walking anav. So he said as follows. Of course, when we work on ourselves, as the Ramchal taught us, every person has to work on themselves step by step. And start slowly, don't take on too much at a time. Because if you skip steps, you're going to end up falling. And it has to be real, and it has to be sincere. However, right at the beginning, from the onset, we have to have a vision and a dream of who I want to become. I have to know where I'm going. Then take a step back and start working towards that goal. So the Ramchal is telling me, I'm going to work on myself step by step. And of the highest steps is chassidus. But first and foremost, yisod ha-chassidus. Know where you're going. Dream for greatness. Dream. Yearn to be an all-star in avodas Hashem. Don't be content with mediocrity. It's not enough just because I daven every day and I'm a nice person. Not doing anything I know of that's terribly wrong. Yearn for greatness. Dream to be an all-star. But we have to understand what that means. Because don't get scared. To be an all-star in Avodah Hashem, I deeply believe, is achievable for each and every one of us in this room. You know, in other areas, to be an all-star, for example, in the world of sports, I'm sure all of you are somewhat familiar. As we said, it's going to be the NBA All-Star Game this Sunday. So to become an All-Star, first of all, it's only a select few. It's only a select few. Very few. Maybe definitely way under 10%, maybe 5% of the NBA, I don't know the exact number, whatever it is, makes the All-Star team. There are a select few that can make it. And it represents a tremendous achievement in your sport. A tremendous achievement, an objective achievement, basically. You're incredible at playing that game. and you're one of the top select few. You're of the within the top of the world, you're the top of the top. You're an all-star. You're an all-star. If that's what an all-star team was in Avodah Hashem, most of us throw in the towel. It's not for me. I have a shot at making the all-star team. I'm hardly on the team. What does that mean? So how can we talk about being an all-star in Avodah Hashem? If an all-star team is meant for select few who have an objective great achievement in that area, this would leave very few of us, if any. So first and foremost, before we get to who becomes an all-star, we have to understand when it comes to Avodah Hashem, we're not being compared to each other. And there is no limit on the all-stars in the eyes of the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva Parakei Halacha Beis tells us, Al Yaver B'machshavtecha, don't think wrongly. Davar Zeh She'omri Tipshei Umas Ha'olam, something that the fools of the other nations say, don't think wrongly. Shekadosh Baruch Hu goes there Adam Etchilas Briyasul Yat Tzadik Arasha, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu already predetermined who's going to be righteous, who's going to be wicked, who has potential to be an all-star because of their capabilities, because of their character traits. Ain't a davar kein, it's not so. Listen to his language, listen to what he says here. Ela kol adam, every individual, roi lo liatzadik kimoyshe rabbeinu. Every one of us, every single one of us, the Rambam tells me, can be a tzadik like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, who spoke to Hashem, Baspaklarium Ira. Moshe Rabbeinu, who brought us the Torah. If we think of the greatest Jew of all times, he's definitely up there on the list, if not just an all-star, he's the MVP. He's the top. Kol Adam Roi Lo Tzadik Kemo Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, we can all be an all-star. Every single one of us. How so? We first have to understand the following. There's a pasuk in Koheles that says, "V'halach bedarchei libecha." V'halach bedarchei libecha. You go in the way of your heart. What does that mean exactly? Does that mean what some would think, that each and every one of us could choose how to live our lives without any gedarim, without any fences, however I want to live? The Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, in his Sefer Emek Davar, so he tells us that's not what the Rabban Shalom wants. That's not what he means in the word V'halach B'darach Lebecha. What does he mean? Listen to what he means. Because these can be of the most inspiring words a Yid needs to hear. Because so often, we wrongly think that we have to fit into a particular box. And we're wrongly told that to be an all-star means that I'm going to marry some guy learning in Kollel for 10 years and living in Ramat Eshkol in a two-bedroom apartment with 7 kids. That's what it means to be an all-star. And if I don't do that, I'm told, if I marry a nice Ben Torah who's Machshav Torah and learns, wakes up in the morning to learn, and he goes to the Beis Medrash late at night to learn, and during the day he's an attorney, he's a doctor, and he earns a living, and he's a super mensch, I settled. I'm okay. Not an all-star. Sometimes we've been told that. But listen to what the Netziv says. The Netziv says there's a lot of ways to become an all-star. The Netziv says, "V'holach bedarchi libecha," that every Jew has to go in the way of your heart. What does that mean? That doesn't mean chas v'shalom, anything anti the Torah, chas v'shalom. That, he says, is v'lo surach levavchem, because there's also a pasuk, right? It says, "V'holach bedarchi libecha go'alas." You should go in the ways of your heart. But we also know a very famous pasuk that we say throughout the day, "V'lo sasuru achrei levavchem v'achrei nechem." Don't follow your heart. Those psukim seem to contradict each other. Which one is it? Should I follow my heart and my desires and my innate nature, or should I? I'm not supposed to follow my heart. Listen to what he says. He says, "Lufi she'ein hiluch avudas Hashem b'tmidus shokol b'nei adam shavim." That the proper path in avodas Hashem is not similar for all people. Zeh osek b'Torah va'am l'kol yom. Some people to sit and delve into and toil in Torah all day long. Zeh porish atzmo l'avoda. This person has to leave to work. Zeh l'gmilas chasadim. This one, the main focus is chesed. V'akol l'shem shemayim, as long as it's all l'shem shemayim. V'gam b'toratma, also in your learning. Ein kol derech limat shava, not everybody learns the same way. It's not only one way. Mashalibo chafetz, but the Gemara says. V'gam b'maisei mitzvos yisa. The Gemara he brings in says, there were some that were zahir b'mitzvah Shabbos. Their ikker of their lives was Shabbos Kodesh. They kept every other mitzvah. But their big focus was Shabbos. Umar b'mitzvah tzitzis. Some, it was tzitzis. The gambin is chasadim, and also when it comes to chesed, ain't called kim shavim balichas olamim. People are inclined and understand themselves and know that certain chasadim work for them better, and that's where they could put their heart and soul. Vim ba'adam lishol ezu derech ishara sheibra lo b'derech limudo v'mali ozar tfei. And he says the nitziv. He says when a person's wondering, where should my focus be? Where should my... Now, I'm already... What he's saying is, I already bought in Baruch Hashem, and I understand and I believe Torah mitzvahs, and there's a Rabbi Nishon, and I have a Muna, and I have Bitachon, and I know my life is to dedicate to Torah mitzvahs. That I know already. But the 630 mitzvahs, and there's so many different hashkafas and machshavas, and like, what am I? Who am I supposed to be within the confines of Torah? That's al zeh omar koelas. That's what Koelis is telling us. V'holach bedarchi lebecha. Mashalibo nimshach achrov. Follow your heart. In other words, be yourself. Be yourself. Don't be someone else. Be yourself. Know yourself and be yourself. Within Torah mitzvot, but be yourself. And your own mazel, your inclination within yourself is going to make sure that that's the proper path for you. Before we become all-stars, we have to understand that when it comes to Avodah Hashem, when it comes to Torah Mitzvos, we can all become all-stars. And there's no one path. There's no one derech. The one derech is Torah. But Torah is very broad. And I have to find my place within that. And I have to be myself. And I can't, chas v'shalom, live for others. Because if I start living for others and start trying to impress others and trying to live up to what they believe for themselves it would be to be an all-star, I'm only going to hurt myself. Because that's not the sport I could be an all-star in. That's not my derech libecha. You know, I know everyone in this room, I'm sure, I talk on this topic, I always think to, there was a movie many years ago already put out, and I'm sure you've all seen. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody here. But there was a movie that was tremendously successful, Frozen. It's on Broadway now. My wife took my daughters a few weeks ago to see it on Broadway. Frozen. And I'll tell you, besides for being, I'm sure that most of you think, believable, incredible music and what it was, and that's why it's a Broadway play now, Broadway show. And of the most, if not the, of the most successful Disney animations of all time. The craze of Frozen. I remember, mamish, last January, when with my family, we went to Orlando to Disney World. And they opened up, maybe a year before, a ride, a Frozen ride in Epcot Center. And like, to get the, those of you who've been in Disney World, you know what I'm talking about. If not, we don't even need to spend time explaining. But there's these things called fast passes, basically, that you get on rides quickly. And the hush of rides that are like crazy lines, you basically have to get a fast pass or you're going to waste your whole day in the park. Like, it doesn't pay going. And like, to get a fast pass on the Frozen ride, you have to get it like a month before or 2 months before. Otherwise, it's all like sold out. And then to wait online, it was literally, it's like a 2 hour wait to go on a 90 second ride. Like MS. No, that's like that, but it wasn't exaggerated. So we didn't decide to go to Orlando. It's too late in the game, so it was too late to get the Frozen fast passes. But how are we going to tell our kids we're going to Orlando, we're not going on Frozen, right? You can't. I have three girls, you know, you can't do that. Okay, my sons are cool with that. I mean, my little son was three, he probably hardly knew the difference. My oldest son is happy not to go on Frozen. But to my girls, I'm going to go there. All the friends are going to ask him, how was the Frozen ride? What's it going to be? It's like you didn't even go. It's not even worth going, right? So what did we have to do? Emes, we had to wake up early in the morning, one of the mornings, to be able to be of the first people in Epcot Center. We were there. We're not good at doing things like this, but we were there. We were at the Epcot Center, and they have, like, I never knew about this before, but they have, when you enter, like, they have this, like, kilu, like this, you know, when you start a marathon, like a long string, and then they, like, suddenly, they play a whole song, and, like, the park opens up, they let down the string, and pandemonium, there's a few hundred other people there, and we had to go, and literally, my whole family, we had to run top speed. It was the fastest I ran since I was in high school, okay? And we had to run, whole family run, to get to the Frozen ride, so we don't waste our whole day, and be able to get on the ride. So it was only like a 5 minute wait as opposed to a 2 hour wait. And kachave, we did it. I mean, this is what you do for your kids. This is what you do for your kids. I understand now how when I was a kid, how my father, I didn't actually do this because Baruch Hashem was already after I was in Eretz Yisrael, but when I was just back from Eretz Yisrael, when I was in YU, so the Yankees were in the World Series, and my younger siblings deeply wanted to go to the World Series, and it wasn't like now where everything's digital and what it was. If you wanted to get tickets to the World Series, you had to sleep, listen to this, Amelis, you had to sleep outside Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, on the street, online, to get Yankee tickets to go to the World Series. And my father and my sister and my brother slept outside. I don't know if they slept or they just were in the Bronx to get Yankee tickets. You appreciate it. Even my father cared to do that. My father didn't care to do that. I understand now as a father, you'll do anything for your kids. Which is so beautiful. So I didn't sleep, but I still went to the Yankee game. You got four tickets a person. It was all good. But anyways, Lemaisa. We're there in 99 and 96 when they won it all. Okay, Lemaisa, getting back to Frozen. I believe the story of Frozen is incredibly inspiring. And if you think about the message of that story, you have these two princesses, these sisters. I always get mixed up who's who, but I wrote it down here. The one with the powers. Anna, right? Anna. Anna's the one with these powers. And I'm wrong? It's Elsa has the powers? I wrote it out wrong. Okay. Told you. I'm not sure. Anna has special powers. That's. I don't know what I was looking at. Gotta ask my daughters. Elsa has the special powers. And Elsa has these special powers, as we know, whatever she touches is frozen, that's the whole name. And we know the whole story, I'm not going to review it for you, you all know it. But it's an incredible story. Because all powers in life, all kochos can be incredible, are there for us to utilize, are there for us to grow with. But then other people tell us, no, you have to be a different way. And then we're never besimcha, we're never happy. And we never live up to who we could be. And that's the whole song, if you read the lyrics, if you listen to the lyrics of the famous song, Let It Go, right? What do we say? Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel. I'm not going to sing this. I can, but I'm not going to. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Listen, I have three daughters. I heard this for a year straight. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. The beginning of her life, she's concealing all that she is. She's living for other people. She's living for other people. Her whole life, she's living for other people. She's concealing her kochos. She's concealing her powers. She's concealing her individuality and who she was. Is she a happy person? She's miserable. She never leaves the palace. She's a miserable human being. But the whole world's telling her this is who she's supposed to be. And this is who she has to be. And then finally, she lets go. And what is let it go? She's letting go of caring of the perception of others and the influence of others. Can't hold back anymore. I don't care what they're going to say. The fears that once controlled me can't get me at all. It's time to see what I can do, to test the limits and break through. And she finally finds happiness. She finally finds herself. And she lives up to who she is supposed to be with her abilities, learning how to manage those abilities within the confines of the world. And learning eventually how to reconnect that with society in a healthy way. And that's who each and every one of us need to be. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants each and every one of us to be an individual all-star. To be an individual all-star. The all-stars in the NBA and in baseball or hockey, whatever you want to call it, they're all based on comparison to each other. They're all playing the same sport and trying to live up to having the same stats. And whoever's and the best means I have better stats than you. And therefore, the best 25 players, you're going to be all-stars. You know what it means to become an all-star in Avodas Hashem? Be the best you. Just be the best you. And live for yourself. I mean, live for others, but within yourself. But still, the question is, how do we make the team? So I know now, we've already defined that we're not worried about anyone else and anyone else's Avodas Hashem. And it's a very different way of qualifying to become an all-star in Avodas Hashem. But how do I make the team even with... How do I make the team for myself? And we could all make the team. That means every one of us can make the team. Because we're all different. And we all have different goals and aspirations and different qualities and talents. Okay, but how do I make the team as that individual? How do I know if I'm living up to who I'm supposed to be? How am I judged by the Ribbono Shel Olam? Because he's the one who chooses the team. In sports, it's the fans, it's the coaches. Who's going to choose the All-Star team as an Eved Hashem? The Ribbono Shel Olam. How's he choose the team? Okay, I'm being myself. How do I know if I'm living up to my best self? How do I know I'm pushing myself the most? What is it? How do I make the All-Star team as an Eved Hashem? So I believe the answer is found, actually, in this past week's parasha. You know, the week, we're still in this week, we're here, and we said we're preparing for a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh. Erev Shabbos Kodesh together, this is awesome, incredible. And we're already feeling it, it's Erev Shabbos. But the truth is the week, the shefa of the week, the influence of the week, comes from the Shabbos beforehand. By Varach Elokimus Yom Yeshiva Ekadish Aso, Hashem blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Svarim explain, I'm not going to get into all the sources now, but the entire week of Kedusha and Brach of a week comes from the Shabbos beforehand. That's why it's going to be B'Shatayva when all of you are going to get married, you're going to have the Shabbos before, Shabbos Kala, and you have an Ofruf. Because all the koichas, all the kedusha, all the bracha of that chasna come from the Shabbos beforehand, and before a bris milah, you have a shalom zacher. It all comes from the Shabbos beforehand. So right now, we're still in this week. All the koichas and shev, I know we always enjoy and prepare with the parasha and the Shabbos of the upcoming week, so which is special and important as well. But really, the koichas of right now that we're in, that we're learning together, comes from this past week's parasha. This past Shabbos Kodesh. And there we read at the beginning of the parasha, in Parashas Truma. So the Torah gives us a long list of the donations that we, Klal Yisrael, gave. Kol ish asher yidvena libo. Every person individually from their own heart. And if we go through that list, it seems to be from beginning to end, in a particular perfect seder, a particular perfect order. From the most expensive, most precious, to the least. Starting with zahav, gold, kesef, silver, nechoshes, copper. Then going into very expensive threads, tcheles vargamon, very famous blue threads, that were in the Bigdei Kuhuna, that we're supposed to be having, and many of us have on our tzitzis and our talis, our gaman, which is a purple color thread, which actually comes from the same chilazon as the tcheles. It's interesting, it's just whether light is shown in the process, whether it turns purple or blue. Purple and blue, we know, are very interconnected. I'm sure some of you are artists and understand this better than I. And then it continues and talks about the woods and talks about the oils and everything. They seem in this perfect descending order. From most precious, gold, silver, copper, like, right, like the Olympics, simple, to the least expensive. But then all the way at the list, all the way at the end of the list, all the way at the end, are the Avnei Shoam and the Avnei Meluyim. The Avnei Shoam, Avnei Meluyim, which are very connected to this week's parish, if you want a little bit for this week as well, because this week, Parashat Tetzaveh, are the begadim of the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol. Avnei Shoam and Avnei Meluyim are the precious gemstones that went on the clothes, the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. As we know, on the Choshen, on the Ephod, those gemstones were way more expensive than anything else on the list prior. You take, for example, we all know, you know, you take a little tiny 2-carat diamond. A little tiny 2-carat diamond. Little tiny 2-carat diamond. Obviously, this depends on how perfect it is and all the different qualities of the diamond. But this 2-carat diamond could be very easily $25,000. You take the same amount of gold, what's that going to cost you? $100? Precious gemstones, they're very expensive. They're very precious. So what are they doing all the way at the end of the list? Shouldn't they be at the beginning of the list? If the list and everything else on that list of the donations for the Mishkan seems to be in perfect order, why are they all the way at the end? Gold, silver, copper, and then all the way at the end should be Avnei Shoam, Avnei Meluyim, Zav, Kesef, Nechoshes, right? This is a very famous Orachayim HaKadosh. The Rechaim HaKadosh on the spot, he asked this question. This is his second answer. It's found all the way at the end of the piece. And he says, Where did Klal Yisrael get these precious gemstones? Where did they come from? So he discusses a Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin Hei. And the Gemara in Yuma tells us that one morning, when Bnei Yisrael woke up, and they went outside to retrieve the mon, as they did every single morning, they found, together with the mon, these very precious gemstones. together with the money, these very precious gemstones. Now, most of the people didn't take them. They weren't so materialistic back then. They didn't see any need for it. They're in the desert. They have everything they need. Their clothing was growing with them. They have their sustenance from the man. They didn't understand what it was there for. The Nasiim, the heads of every Shevet, they knew if Hashem brought this morning, it must be reason. Who's a wise person, sees the future and understands their consequences and took these gemstones. And now, they're the ones who gave it back to be utilized in the Big Day Kohuna. The Halakha Arachayim HaKadosh says, these gemstones took absolutely no amelus. These gemstones took no hard work. There was no toil, there was no effort. The Nasiim one morning came outside, they were there, they picked them up, and now they just gave them back. These gemstones go at the very end of the list. Because in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, in the eyes of the Eibishter, there's only one way we're judged. There's only one way that He's choosing His all-star team. And that's based on our amelus. It's based on our effort. It's based on our energy. It's based on our hard work. It's based on how much effort I'm putting in to my avodas Hashem. To my individualized avodas Hashem. That's how I become an all-star. So in the Torah, these Avnei Shalom Miluyim, yeah, they're very precious. But in God's eyes, they're the least precious. Because they took the least work. So if I want to make the all-star team as an Eved Hashem, I have to first and foremost realize that I'm not compared. There's no comparison, there's no contrast to anyone else in this room, anyone else in the world. We all have our individualized relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is so precious and so special. And I have to find that, I have to be true to that and real to that. So I'm not going against anybody else here. So how do I make it? It's all about my effort. It's all about my... How hard am I really putting in? How much time am I putting in? My davening. I daven, but how much effort am I really putting in to try to develop and try to work on my kavana, my hargasha salev, rachman alibavoy, He wants our heart, my feeling, my emotion. Shabbos, I keep Shabbos. It would never be machal Shabbos. Those are the lamatas malachos, that's shamar. What about zachar? What about my positive connection to Shabbos? How much time, effort am I putting in to really make Shabbos special in my life? As you're doing this Shabbos kodesh. But this should be the inspiration for many Shabbosos. And whether it's in Stern or whether it's in your homes. Where's my amelus? Where's my effort in my avodas Hashem? In my chesed, I do nice things for people. I have a chesed I do weekly. Whenever I'm asked, I jump. But how much effort am I really putting in? So each and every one of us has to find who we are. But once we find who we are, and we're true to that, that's still not a shoo-in for the all-star team. Then I have to put in my effort. Then I have to put in my amelus. But don't forget to be that self. I want to end, you know, often I'd end with a story, but I more so tonight, based on what we're discussing, have to end with the following poem. Some of you have heard this from me before, and some of you might know it. But it's a poem that I think about every day of my life. I want to share it with each and every one of you. I'm not sure that even who the author of this poem is. I think there's debate about it. I found it in a book I was reading years ago. When you get what you want in your struggle for self, and the world makes you king for a day, just go to the mirror and look at yourself and see what that man has to say. For it isn't your father or mother or wife whose judgment upon you must pass. The fellow whose verdict counts the most in your life is the one staring back in the glass. Some people may think you're a straight-shooting chum and call you a wonderful guy. But the guy in the glass says you're only a bum if you can't look him straight in the eye. He's the fellow to please, never mind all the rest, for he's with you clear up to the end. And you've passed your most dangerous, difficult test if the man in the glass is your friend. You may fool the whole world down the pathway of life and get pats on the back as pass. But your final reward will be heartaches and tears if you've cheated the man in the glass. So this wasn't written by a Yid. So obviously they're only going to get half the game. But that half is very important. Meaning obviously every single one of us lives for the Rabbeinu Shalom. Obviously every single one of us lives for the Rabbeinu Shalom. And lives to be close to the Rabbeinu Shalom. But remember, the fellow whose verdict in this world counts most in your life is the one staring back from the glass. We're here to be emes, to be truthful with ourselves and truthful with Hashem. So we're starting a Shabbos Kodesh. And the theme of that Shabbos being all-stars, I think that's an awesome theme. Because as we said here tonight, that should be every single one of our goals. To be an all-star, to be great, to dream, to be big. But let's recognize that that's achievable. Because when it comes to Yiddishkeit, it's not a select few. It can be and will be, Bezos Hashem, each and every one of us. In our own ways. In who we're supposed to be. Within this beautiful umbrella of Torah mitzvahs that Hashem has given us. But it takes hard work. And we have to be willing to put in that melus, because that's ultimately how we're judged. And if that's a lesson we learn from Binyan HaMishkan, then I believe it's also what the Rabbon Shalom is waiting for. As each and every one of us is surely yearning to be an all-star as an individual in our relationship with Hashem. But more so, we're yearning to have that time when we're going to be the collective all-stars. And we're yearning for that time when we're going to be watching Kohanim, Bavodasam, Levim, Lishiram, Lizimram, and seeing the Avni Shom, Avni Meluyim. But it's through our Amelus, it's through our hard work, and it's through our being emes to who we are, that we'll be Zoyche Bez Hashem Isbarach to be that all-star, and we'll be Zoyche to Binyan Beis HaMikdash with Mashiach Tzidkenu, B'mheiru B'yameinu. And we should have a hail, a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh, full of simcha, full of bracha, full of tremendous chizik and tzairus. We should be zoyche to keep with you.